will be one that I hope will be a message of a strengthening for you and I. I hope and pray that it will be one that will be pleasing unto the Lord. Sometimes I think we need messages to help us find strength, to help us find courage in the sight of God, because I think sometimes we get a little disheartened maybe, and we maybe seem a little downtrodden, but I want us to know tonight that God is in control. I'm thankful that He is. If you turn with me tonight to the Second Chronicles over in the Old Testament in the 20th chapter. I say this a lot, you hear this a lot, and I will say it again. This is some of my favorite scripture in the Bible. I guess besides Psalms 129, I guess that chapter, I guess this would be my next favorite. I have never actually, I don't believe, preached out of this. I may have referred to it from time to time, but I have never been able to preach out of this. But I find this to be a great help to me in times of need, in times of trouble, because I know that God is with me every step of the way. And I believe we can see through this reading tonight that He was with Jehoshaphat in a time of need. So, the 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, we'll start with the first verse. And it says, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask of the help to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hands is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil come upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and crying to thee in our affliction, for thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." And we'll stop our reading there for a few moments of time. We have some more reading here in this chapter, if the Lord will allow us to get there tonight. But I thought about Jehoshaphat and what he saw this day in Judah. And I want us to maybe get a little bit of a geography in tonight. If we know where Judah is and we know where the city that they were talking about was, we know that they were fixing to come around and they were going to attack from the bottom. They were coming to Judah and they were going to attack Jehoshaphat's kingdom here. And I can just imagine him looking out across the sea, or looking out and seeing the ships coming in, or seeing the army coming around to invade the city of Judah, and him just looking out and him knowing that God was supposed to be with him, and here he was, stuck out in the middle, and him thinking, you know what, Lord, you're going to let them attack us this time. You're going to let us be overtaken, and there's going to be nobody to help us. But I thought about what the Lord told him, and I thought about some of the things that took place, and I thought about many times how it takes us getting in compromising situations to really seek the Lord and to seek His will out, and finally to turn our eyes toward Him. A lot of times we look to every which way except to God in our times of trouble, but in our times of trouble, God is always there. He's there all of the time, but He really is there in our times of trouble and our times of need. Thought about Jehoshaphat. Here he was a king. And if you look over in the 31st verse, it says he was 35 years old when he began to reign in Judah. And he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And it talks about who his mother was. So obviously, he had some experience here. He had some knowledge of what was going on. And he knew that he had a great army. He knew that what I looked at this week, what I referenced this week, it said it was over a million strong that he had in his army. It said that he had a whole host of people on his side, so he knew that he could take this army that was coming at him. But Jehoshaphat, being who he was, also knew this. He knew without God's help, there was no way he could do it. And in our lives today, I want us to know, no matter how big we get, no matter how far out we get, without God, we can do nothing. If God's not in it, if God's not with us, nothing will be accomplished. We can have the biggest army there ever has been. Or we can have the most money that you can have. But without God, it means nothing. If God's not in it, bless our hearts. But I'm so thankful that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. It was a great picture for us tonight. It was a great figure for us. To know that sometimes we just have to get out on our knees and say, Lord, we don't know what to do, but we know that if we'll turn our eyes on You, we know that if we'll ask You, we know if we'll get out and we'll cry and we'll pour our hearts out just as Judah was. Oh, and I believe they did. If we look at what Jehoshaphat did, he stood in the congregation of Judah in the 5th verse. He stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he prayed, or he lifted up his voice and his heart to the Lord. And he says, O Lord God of our fathers, art not Thou God in heaven? He was looking out and he was calling on the name of the Lord in front of all of these people. How often do our kings and our dignitaries stand before the Lord and call out upon them? I wish tonight that the President of this United States would stand before God and say, Lord, we need Your help. In our country today, in our churches today, in our lives today, we must have God at the forefront of it. Amen. If our country expects to turn around, we're going to have to seek the Lord. If our lives are going to turn around, if we're going to see things that God will do for us, we're going to have to turn to the Lord in everything that we do. But you know, the Lord had some very encouraging words for Judah. If we read in the 15th verse, and it says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah. And I believe this was the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of those that had gathered there. And it says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. I thought about that this week, and I thought about us here at Mount Calvary. And you know, if we were to look at ourselves as Judah tonight, we wouldn't necessarily have the millions in our army that Judah did. We wouldn't have the great army or the great number of possessions that maybe this kingdom had. And sometimes we as a church, sometimes we as God's people, we face things that seem like they are as hard or harder than anything we'll ever face in our lives ever again. You know, there's a lot of times in my life that I find myself at a crossroads. I find myself at a jumping off place. And I wonder, Lord, are You really going to be there to help me? And sometimes God says, stand still. Have you ever had God say, stand still, and just let me do the work? You see this great army coming, and I can just imagine Jehoshaphat just chomping at the bit to say, go army, go and fight them, win this battle. But God said, this battle is not yours, it is God's.
Sometimes we look at it and we see a battle before us and we think, oh, we've got to go fight this one. But sometimes God says, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. I thought about Moses and the children of Israel. What happened when he began to lead them out of the children, lead them out of Egypt? What happened there? Moses told them, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We know that the Pharaoh there, he had come out and he'd been following the children of Israel. He was coming after them. They get to the Red Sea and he parts it. For you and I, that would be impossible. For them, it looked impossible. It looked like they were going under. It looked like they had no help from any other source. You know, a lot of times it looks like that in our life. We as God's children, a lot of times we look out and we see things. And we think there's no remedy for this situation. There's no help in this situation. There's no way that I can ever overcome this battle. Well, with God's help, we can. Sometimes it takes us standing still. Now, had the children of Israel stood out into the Red Sea there, and the Lord began to part it with them in it, they'd have been swallowed up. The Lord would have just took them with it, but they had to stand still and see the salvation of God. Now, you know, a lot of times we pray for things. And maybe this is the point of our message tonight, if the Lord will be our helper. Sometimes we pray for things. And boy, it stays on our heart night and day. And I preached about burdens a few Sunday nights ago. And I believe in burdens. I believe we need to have them. If we don't, woe unto us. Burdens are important. But sometimes our prayers don't get answered right when we want them to. Sometimes God has to teach us a lesson by standing still. You ever seen a Baptist stand still very often? I know you can look at me tonight and watch me preach, and I don't stand still very much. It seems like in my own life, I don't stand still a lot because I'm always listening with my natural ear instead of listening with my spiritual ear. Sometimes I listen for what I want to hear instead of what really God wants to tell me. And sometimes it's just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In my life a lot of times, and I'm going to tell you something tonight. When I first knew that I was supposed to be here as pastor, and the Lord said, that's where you're supposed to be. I thought, not me. No, not me. You've got somebody else to do that. You know, when we began to pray, and I felt like Jehoshaphat. I felt like I was looking out onto a battlefield, and I thought, Lord, I can't do this without your help. And you know, it took a few Sundays before you all finally got the message, I think, and called me pastor. I had to stand still and see the salvation of God and know that in God's time, everything works out. Because if maybe I'd have came earlier, maybe it wouldn't have worked out. Maybe things wouldn't have happened the way that God wanted them to happen. Because my battlefield is a whole lot bigger than God's is. God's already won. But you see, I only see what I can see with my natural eyes. This is a thing that I've lived through. I've seen this. I've witnessed my Judah. I've witnessed my Jehoshaphat. And I've had to pray this prayer. Lord, I don't know which way to go. Lord, I don't know which way to go from here, but I know that my eyes are upon you. You know, I thought about this week. Most of you all know about my family situation as far as my brothers and sisters and how I can't get them to go to church. And if they do go to church, they just have this mindset that they're not going to believe anything that's there. You may say, preacher, how are you going to tie this in? You know, I have prayed many prayers for them to come to church. My sister came to church a few months ago. It was a great joy to me. She hadn't been to church in a number of years. You know, I still pray to this day, even though she's been once. I keep saying, Lord, bring her back. I want to see her again here. But sometimes God lets us know in my time. Sometimes God lets us know, you can pray all the time, but you've got to stand still and know that I will help you. You know, I have thought about this. When I was younger, and she's not here tonight, so I can tell this on her. When I was younger, I went to church every Sunday morning. I mean, I was there anytime the doors were open. You may say, preacher, how does this fit? I'm going to tell you something. the battle that Jehoshaphat had, oh, it was a great thing. It was something that was very real. It was something that was coming at him fast and furious, and he knew that he needed help quick. So I believe that Jehoshaphat knew who to turn to. And I believe tonight, we as God's people, we know who to turn to in everything that we have. But I remember praying, my mom, if she wouldn't mind me telling you this, she didn't attend church as much as I would like to for her to. I know sometimes I'd just fight with her and I'd say, Mom, you've got to get in church. Mom, you know where you're supposed to be. And finally, I stopped asking her, and one day she went to church. And I thought, well, she won't be back for 2 Sundays. But she started going, and she started going, and more and more and more. She started going Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And she was always in church. And I remember the Lord letting me know, see, sometimes you just got to stand still. And know that the battles that are before you, sometimes they'll be small battles. Sometimes they'll be battles that don't mean a thing to anybody else. But sometimes the battles that God gives us mean a whole lot to us. Those burdens that I was talking about a few Sunday nights ago, sometimes those burdens mean more to us than they do to anybody else. I know there's people here tonight that have burdens for your families. To come to church, you have burdens for your families. To get saved, I know you have burdens for your families and a whole lot of things. And you may think nobody else cares. But I'm going to tell you, if we'll stand still and see the salvation of God, these battles that are before us, they're not ours. They're God's. And sometimes, these burdens that we have as a church, and I'm going to tell you something tonight, church, we need a burden for this community. We need a burden for this nation. We need a burden for this town and for this city that we live in. Why? Because this is where we are. You know, we look out tonight, and as Jehoshaphat looked out over Judah, and I believe if we could probably see the schematics of his castle, he probably had the best view of the city. But I also believe he had a good view outside of the city. And I believe he could probably, and I don't know this, this is completely a Taylorism, so you'll just have to take this as what I'm saying is not necessarily standing on the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, give you my thoughts. Because I believe sometimes we look out and we see both sides. And I believe maybe Jehoshaphat looked out and he saw his city that he loved. He saw the city that was there and he thought, oh, well, Lord, you know that I love them and I'm going to take care of them. And he looked out and saw this battle coming. And the Lord says, stand still. Oh, how scary that must be. But you know, with God's help, he told him, he said, this battle is not yours. It's mine. This battle is the Lord's. It's always been God's. Sometimes the battles that come before us, they're hard to face. They're hard to, for challenges. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe God sends battles to us. I certainly do. I believe God gives us things. And you're going to say, preacher, what do you mean by that? I believe sometimes God tests our faith. I really believe that. Sometimes I need my faith tested. A lot of times I get to thinking, well, you know what? I know how to do this on my own. You know, Jehoshaphat could have been like some of the kings in the Bible and completely turned away from God. But before, and Jehoshaphat had his errors, so please don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you, I love to read about Jehoshaphat because I find myself in a lot of his crosshairs sometimes. I find myself looking out and seeing these battles, and sometimes God just says, stand still. Just as he told Moses and the children of Israel, he said, just stand still for a little bit. And as Mount Calvary tonight, and we're fixing to go into a new year. I've been talking about this quite a bit the last couple Sundays. We're going into a new year, and with a new year, there's new challenges. With new challenges comes new burdens. With new burdens come sleepless nights, and I want us to be so prepared for the things that are coming for us that we're prayed up and ready to go when they get here. You know, Jehoshaphat looked out over Judah. He saw him coming. Maybe he had a little bit of time to prepare, but he didn't have a whole lot. I want us to be prepared for the lost. I want us to be prepared for the hurting and those that are sick and those that are afflicted, because those are battles that affect us as a church family. But sometimes God's going to say, stand still and just watch me work. Have you ever seen somebody and you saw that they were in the middle of some kind of project and oh, you just wanted to jump right in there and help them and do all that you could, and you got in there and started helping, you messed it up real good? been there, done that a lot. My dad would ask me to help him on projects in the yard, and boy, I thought I was the master gardener. I thought I could do it all. I get out there and go slicing my hand open, make the biggest fool out of myself there ever has been. And as I got older, and as Dad wised up and could see some of the things that I would do, the things that I would mess up, sometimes he'd make me just stand out of the way and say, just watch, and maybe someday I'll let you do this with me. But he said, you've got to learn, you've got to stand back and see what I'm going to do. Sometimes God lets us stand back and watch, and just says, I've got this, I'm going to take care of it. This is a very familiar psalm to you all. If you'll turn with me tonight out of the 46th book or 46th division of Psalms. And I think this is very applicable to us tonight as a church. I think it's something that we need. I'm not blind to the state that the church was in. Over the last couple of years, I know being without a pastor was hard, and I don't want to rehash all of that again, because I believe we're moving forward instead of backwards, and I never want us to regress. I want us to make progress, because I believe that's a wonderful thing. But I want us to know that God is our refuge and He's our strength. He's the one that helps us. Anything good that happens is because of Him. And I want us to know tonight that He's the very rock that this church is built on. So if anything that we need, if anything that comes our way, we already have the answer. We already have the help. We just got to tap into it. And I'm thankful that we have that. Because sometimes I think we run out of steam, we run out of strength. But I want us to know who our strength and our help comes from. The 46th Psalm, it says, God is our refuge and He is our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, He is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease. Unto the end of the earth He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Here we go with this be still term again. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. A lot of times I have found these verses to be a great comfort to me. I have found them to be a big help to me. Because sometimes, as I've already said tonight, that we just don't know which way to turn. And as saved people, I think a lot of times we forget that we have someone who's already there to help us. He's already there to be with us, to confide in. And He says, the God of Jacob, He is our refuge. And I had thought maybe the title for this tonight would be, When the Storms Come. I don't know that that's necessarily the title that God would give us. I don't necessarily know what title He would have for us, because sometimes the Lord doesn't give me a specific title. But I thought about what happens in the middle of a storm. How many of you have ever been caught out in a storm? But when it comes up and you look out and you see the storm clouds gather in, you begin to think, oh, this one's going to be a big one. And sometimes the storm passes right on by. I was going to Old Union. They had a fall revival this last year. And as I was traveling there, it was getting about dark. And I could look out. And on one side of the car, there was a beautiful sun shining. And on the other side of the car, it was as black as pitch black could be. And I knew there was fixing to be a storm. You could see the rain. You could see the thunder. You could see the lightning way off. You knew that things were, you knew it was coming. You just knew that you needed to get somewhere and take refuge. And about the time I got to the church and cut the car off, it began to rain cats and dogs. And there were so many people there, I couldn't even, well, I take that back. This was the night that I went for revival, and they didn't really have that many people there, but I parked kind of far away, if you know me, I'm kind of a stickler about where I park the car. So I parked kind of a good distance away, cut the key off, and got out, and it began to rain, and I was running in, and my suit was soaked as soaked could be. When I got in there, though, I knew I was safe. I knew I was someplace that the storm could have come by, there could have been a tornado and wiped us all out. But I felt at home, I felt at refuge where God was. And a lot of times we seek a refuge in this world from the storms that are all around us. There's a lot of storms that come up on our lives. And I'm not talking just physical ones. I'm talking about spiritual ones. I'm talking about ones that happen in our lives that we don't know where they came from, but here they are upon us. You know, I'm convinced tonight that even the best meteorologist sometimes gets it wrong every now and then. Sometimes they just pop up. In the middle of the summer, a storm can pop up anywhere, such as is with our life. But God is our refuge from the storm. He's our refuge from everything. This life sometimes, and we sing the song, "Hide me, O blessed rock of ages." We need God to hide us from time to time. We need God to protect us. I'm thankful that Jehoshaphat knew who to turn to. I looked at this this week, and the more I looked at it, the more I looked at the news, and how often it breaks my heart to look at the news. You know, I try to stay away from it. But I thought about Judah, and I'm going to try to close here in just a moment, if the Lord be our helper. I thought about Judah. And maybe I've already went over this a little bit, but I want to try to close here, if the Lord will be our helper. Jehoshaphat being the king in the third verse of 2 Chronicles. I told you, and this was our reading lesson. It says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." As we go into this next year, as Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church and those, Sister Lisa and Brother Terry from Faith, I know that their desire is for their church to be strengthened and to grow and to prosper and see the Lord do a work there. And I know that's our desire here at Mount Calvary, is to see God do a wonderful thing. Some of the messages that I've been preaching, and I firmly believe with everything that is within my heart that this church is in unity and love and harmony, that is a wonderful thing for us to be in. I think it is love abounds in this place. But I want us to stay there. I want us to keep coming in. I'm telling you, every Sunday it seems like our services get a little bit better and better. And one of these days we're going to have one where the roof just may burst off this place, and what a time it's going to be. You remember the sermon, I know you do, talking about it's going to rain. Brothers and sisters, 2015 has brought some rain to Mount Calvary. And I'm looking forward to some more showers. They say, what is it, April showers bring May flowers. You know, it's been showering a little bit. But I'm looking forward to the great flood that's going to happen when God just sends His rain down upon this church. And oh, He's already doing it for me. If you can't tell by the way that I act sometimes, and I hope maybe it gets a little contagious for you, because I'm going to tell you something. I'm excited. You may have heard this message tonight. You may say, "Oh Lord, He's running away from us." That's not happening. Not at all. The only place I'm going to run is to you. Because as we come together as a church and God's people, there's power in what we can do. There truly is. When they sought the Lord, God let them know that He was in control. God's in control now. He was in control in January of last year. He was in control of April. He was in control in July. And He's still in control tonight. And I believe if we'll seek God's will for this church, if we'll seek God's will in our lives, if we'll build those altars as I was talking about a few Sundays ago, God will bless us. I am so thankful. And I know that I'm preaching maybe more year-end messages. Because, you know, as we come down to the end of the year, sometimes we look back and we think, well, what have we really accomplished this year? I know that I do that from time to time. I think, well, Lord, what have I really done this year? And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a big person to make resolutions. Some people on January 1st, boy, they'll sit out and they'll say, you know what, this is my resolution and I'm going to make it. And you know what happens when I always make my resolutions? By the night, I'd already messed up and already had run all over it 5 or 6 times. Most of the times, my resolutions were maybe eat a little bit better this year, and I'd already had enough junk food that day to last all year if I was going to make my resolution. And I messed it up, but I don't want us to make resolutions as far as that goes. You can make your resolutions in your personal life if you want to. I don't want us to make resolutions as a church, because I firmly believe that if we'll come together seeking the Lord's will, there's not a force on this earth that can stop us. I believe that. Because I've told you before, I've preached it, I've taught about it, but there is power in prayer and there is power in God's church. Amen. You know, Judah had power behind it. I'm going to read these verses of Scripture. I thought I was done, but you know what? Sometimes God just doesn't let us be done when we think it's supposed to be. I want you to look in the 26th verse of that 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And it says, "In the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Barakah, for they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Barakah unto this day. Then they returned every man unto Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all of the kingdoms of this country. When they had heard the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about." Think about that tonight. "And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel." What a thought that is tonight. For those to fear, you know, they feared what Judah was fixing to do, what Israel was going to do. They feared because they knew that God found favor with them. I don't want people to fear us as in they think we're going to turn into a cult or anything like that, because that's not us. But I want them to fear because they see God in everything that we're doing. I hope God's people can see what we're doing. I hope some people say, well, they don't really care what other people think about what they do. Brothers and sisters, I want people to take notice of what God is doing. I'll say this and I'm going to close. It's not about you and I. It's not about what we want, but it's about what God wants. You know, if Judah and Jehoshaphat, if Jehoshaphat had just overlooked what God had said and said, you know what, go ahead and fight, I'm not sure that the Lord's going to deliver this time. If they went ahead and went on and fought, I believe the Lord may have said, well, you know what? Guess what? You have tried to fight your own battle and you can win your way out of this one. Jehoshaphat listened. And when the Lord said, stand still and know that this battle is not yours, but know that it is God's. Whatever we're going to face, whatever we're going to come in contact with in the coming months and the coming years and however long that I get to be with you all, whatever, and even longer than that, however long that God allows Mount Calvary Church to be here, I hope it's here 500, 600, 1,000 years from now. I truly do. I hope that this church lasts until the Lord comes back. I firmly believe that God's church will be somewhere, and I hope it's right here, however long that may be. But I want to say this tonight, and then I'm going to close. I want God to find favor in what we're doing tonight. As long as we're together, as long as the church will come together in spirit and in harmony and love, we have power that this world does not have. We have the ability to do some great things, and I'm looking forward to doing them. I'm excited. I'm just overjoyed with how God has been blessing us, and I'm looking forward to more. Let's stand still and know that God's in control. Let's let God be the winner of the battle. You've heard me say this. We've all said it probably at one time or another. I've looked in the back of the book and I know who wins. I know who wins. There's going to be some battles along the way. But as long as we're on God's side and God finds favor with us, He will help us. And I'm thankful for that tonight. May God bless you is our prayer while we stand and while we sing.